And at 8 o'clock, we have light rain here in Atlantic, 68 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. Well, as Mark mentioned a moment ago, the flash flood warning that had been in effect for Ringgold, Taylor, Southern Union, and southeastern Adams counties was canceled late last hour. The heavy rain has ended and flooding is no longer expected to pose a threat. However, if additional thunderstorms develop and produce heavy rainfall over the same area this morning, a combination of rain that fell in the previous days and overnight into this morning on already saturated soils mean that it wouldn't take much to produce some flash flooding. Also, a small stream flood advisory is in effect for Monona, Harrison, and Shelby counties until 9:15. That affects southeastern Monona, northwestern Shelby, and Harrison County until 9:15. And a small stream advisory is in effect until 8:15 for southeastern Pottawatomie, Montgomery, and eastern Mills counties. In the news, the head of Iowa's workforce agency is defending herself against accusations of mismanagement, telling lawmakers that she's been trying to update and modernize operations. Iowa Workforce Development Director Teresa Wehlert came before the Senate Government Oversight Committee on Wednesday. During 2 days of hearings, a former workforce judge has said he was unfairly fired, and staffers questioned why they were told to keep quiet about the agency's decision to grant unemployment benefits to people who didn't seek them earlier this year. Wehlert, who was appointed by Governor Terry Branstad in January of 2011, said there was no effort to cover up the overpayment problem caused by a technical glitch. To the management complaints, she said that some people may have been having a hard time with the new policies. Well, 82 counties and two state-level Iowa 4-H volunteers were inducted into the Iowa 4-H Hall of Fame during a 2014 ceremony held at the 4-H Exhibits Building during the Iowa State Fair on Sunday, August 17th. Inductees or their surviving family members were presented a certificate by the Iowa 4-H Foundation as they were introduced on stage. In alphabetical order, Adair to Jackson counties were recognized at 1:30, while Jefferson to Wright counties were recognized later that afternoon. A reception sponsored by donors to the Iowa 4-H Foundation was held shortly after each of Iowa's 4-H Hall of Fame presentations. County honorees were selected by their respective counties for their outstanding service and dedication to 4-H, while the Iowa State University Extension and Outreach Iowa 4-H Programs Office nominated two honorees this year for their service to Iowa 4-H and beyond. The inductees were selected for their exceptional work in contributing to the lives of 4-H members and the overall 4-H program. Many inductees served as club leaders, youth mentors, fair superintendents, fair board members, Iowa State University Extension Council members, county youth council members, fair judges, financial supporters, chaperones, Iowa 4-H Foundation trustees, or ISU Extension and Outreach staff members. The inductees have demonstrated dedication, encouragement, commitment, and guidance to Iowa's 4-H'ers through the years. Among this year's honorees in Adair County was Deb Stalter, in Adams County, James Jim Stalkup, in Audubon County, Ed Aronson, also in Cass County, Eleanor Hoover, in Guthrie County, Jim and Joe Lockery. Montgomery County honorees include Wanda Johnson. In East Pottawatomie County, it was Boyd Nylon. And in Shelby County, Linda Heflin. You can read all the other names under the same story under the news tab at KJAN.com. Well, Wednesday was the deadline to file nomination papers for a county office. Nomination papers have had to have been filed with the county auditor by 5 p.m. in order for candidates to be included on the ballot for the November 4th general election. In Cass County, only two nonpartisan offices are short nominees, and both are on the Cass County Agricultural Extension Council. Late filees yesterday include for the County Extension Council, Gage Zelmer of Atlantic and Chad Becker of Wyota. You can check out the other names again on our website at KJAN.com under the general election deadline story. Montgomery County election officials also reported yesterday that candidates filed their nomination papers for county offices by the 5 p.m. deadline on Wednesday. And the County Ag Extension Council, there are several candidates for five openings, and they include Darcy Dalton, Linda Parker, Joseph Jardin, Lori DeKay, Misty Adams, and Kate Friedolf. Montgomery County Recorder, just one person, Republican Carlene Bruning, is running. For Montgomery County Treasurer, Republican Carol Strovers. Montgomery County Attorney Bruce Swanson, the Republican, is the only nominee that's running. The Montgomery County Supervisor in District 1, Stephen Ratcliffe, a Republican, is in the running. Montgomery County Supervisor in District 2, there are two people running for that seat, including Representative Joshua Wigg and Karen Blue. Montgomery County Supervisor District 4 has one person running, Mark Peterson. There are three people running for three seats on the Montgomery County Hospital Board of Trustees, including Lauren Peterson, Kenneth Breck, and Sarah Warren-Smith. Montgomery County Soil and Water Commissioner positions, there are two seats open, and running for that are Kirk Baird, Roger Servin, Deborah Howe, Mary Robinette. You can check out the rest of the persons that have filed their nomination papers under the same story, Montgomery County election information, on the website under the news tab at KJAN.com. Also, there will be a public measure in Montgomery County coming up during the November general election, and that is that shall the Montgomery County Board of Supervisors fill the offices of township trustees and township clerks by appointment as the terms of office of the incumbent officers expire. There's also a Stanton special election during which there is a city council vacancy, but no one has filed for that particular seat. Republican Congressman Steve King says that reaction will be politically nuclear if President Obama bypasses Congress and issues an executive order granting some sort of legal status to illegal immigrants.
First, the president has no constitutional authority to make up laws as he wishes they would be, but he threatens to do so anyway. But if the president does this, and 5 to 9 or more million people get a you-are-now-legal slip from the President of the United States, that throws us into an instantaneous constitutional crisis.
Congress faces another deadline in September to approve a federal budget or pass a stopgap measure to avoid a government shutdown. King said those discussions may break down if President Obama uses an executive order on immigration policy.
This would be the most blatantly unconstitutional act by any president of the United States ever if he does what his trial balloons and his own threats have promised to do. And so that the intensity of that gets closer and closer, it's more and more likely that something like that will happen.
And reports indicate that President Obama is considering executive action that would make more undocumented immigrants eligible for green cards and place more people on the deferred action list so that deportation proceedings are delayed. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said it would be a shame if Republicans in Congress decide to shut down the government over the immigration issue. Officials say no one was hurt when a deer slammed into the window of a restaurant in Sioux City. The Sioux City Journal says the four-point buck hit the exterior glass of a double-paned window at Rebo's Wednesday afternoon. The interior window did not break and the deer did not enter the restaurant. Sioux City Animal Control officials said the deer was badly wounded in the incident and had to be put down. Animal Control Officer Kenna Anderson said it's not uncommon to see deer in the downtown area of Sioux City because they follow the nearby Floyd River. The Iowa Supreme Court is hearing attorneys, judges, and law professors give their opinions on what would happen if the state eliminated the requirement that all attorneys must pass the bar exam before beginning practice. Currently, only Wisconsin allows attorneys graduating from in-state law schools to skip the test. The Iowa State Bar Association has suggested Iowa adopt the policy called Diploma Privilege, allowing students graduating from law schools at Drake or University of Iowa to practice law without taking the bar. Supporters say it will help to reduce the debt of law students by allowing them to enter the workforce sooner and may help to slow declining law school enrollment. Opponents say the bar exam serves as an important gatekeeping purpose of weeding out lawyers who are unprepared to begin practicing law. Former Iowa State Senator Kent Sorensen pleaded guilty to federal charges stemming from his switch of support from one Republican candidate for president to another before the 2012 caucus campaign. In a Justice Department news release, federal officials say the 42-year-old Milo Republican received under-the-table payments when he changed loyalties in the campaign's closing days. Although justice officials wouldn't say, Sorensen was the state chairman for the U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann's campaign beginning in June of 2011. He admitted receiving and lying about monthly payments of roughly $8,000 from another campaign from October to December. 6 days before the January 3rd caucuses, Sorensen declared his support for then-U.S. Representative Ron Paul. Sorensen pleaded guilty to causing a campaign to falsely report expenditures and obstruction, and the call to his office was not immediately returned to reporters. In our funeral announcements this morning, Helen Laurel Jensen, age 95, of Elkhorn, died August the 18th at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Helen Jensen will be today at 2:30 at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Daniel Chapman, age 15, of Harlan, died Monday. Funeral services for Daniel Chapman will be this Saturday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ivan Lee Lund, age 71, of Anita, died Tuesday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Funeral services for Ivan Lund will be Saturday at 10:30 at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Anita is in charge of the arrangements. Nadine Kenkel, age 56, of Erling, died Monday at Murtu Hospital. A massive Christian burial service for Nadine Kenkel will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Wendell Lynch, age 86, of Exira, died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. A celebration of life memorial service for Wendell Lynch will be held Saturday at 1:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Lois Marie White, age 94, of Iowa City, died August 19th. Graveside services for Lois White will be Saturday at 3 o'clock in the Atlantic Cemetery. Lansing Funeral Home of Iowa City is in charge of the arrangements. And Vernon King, age 78, of Adair, died August 14th at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Vernon King will be on Monday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.